Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin Y, Yeast, with Dr. Tim Ham, Episode 85.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Christ is truly risen. Alleluia. Alleluia. Hello, Dolores.
Hi, Thomas.
I'm
why are we being so formal?
Well, I just come off of 18 holes of golf and a snooze, and we talked to our daughter, Mary, and she said that I was, did she say wound up or frisky?
Yes. I told her you were that way all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everyone. We are late, 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 and that came about because of Easter, and then one day after another of things happening. And
We did. We actually really sat down Easter weekend to do this, and it just didn't happen.
So here we are, a week late, but glad to be with you. Dee, this is This is Catholic Vitamin Y.
Yeast.
How can you be yeast in the family? Well, I've got a story right here that's a small world example of that. We have friends in the parish, and the lady is a nurse, and she works in a, what would you say?
Like a nursing home, care center.
So she is off certain days, and she goes to daily mass and joins us at daily mass. And once in a while, we go out and have coffee and don't tell anybody a donut. Once in a while.
Yeah. She seems to like being able to come out and sit and just talk with us.
So here's an email she sent to us. Dear Deacon Tom and Dee, thanks for the coffee this morning. It's always nice visiting with you. And it was nice to get to know someone's family, too. They were with us. I wanted to tell you something Noah said this afternoon on the way home from school with Lena and Chloe. Now, Noah is in kindergarten, about in kindergarten. All right. His sisters are older. And Mom had a faith CD, I'm guessing like some religious music, on in the car. And the girls said to their brother to turn off the Holy Roller music. Noah, the kindergartner, said, "Holy Roller is good. It keeps God in your heart and mind." And then Mom said, "Maybe there's a priest or a deacon in our future." Isn't that neat? That's a sweet story.
She's given us some cute stories from Noah before.
Yeah. Noah is a sweet young boy, but he can also be a terror. He likes to get into things. He's broken his arm badly one time because he was climbing on stuff and fell off. Typical boy, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Can I read an email we just got?
Yeah.
Because this is very, very, very sweet. Hold on. This came in on April 28th from Joe Geisbauer. He said, "Deacon Tom and Dee, I wanted to say thank you to both of you and all the listeners who prayed for my father's surgery a few weeks ago. He's doing great. In fact, they were even able to make their annual trip to celebrate Easter with us. It made the whole process a lot easier on my family, knowing that people were praying for us. As a side note, one of the more touching moments came just before surgery. When the surgeon came in to check Dad out in pre-op, he put his hands on my mom's shoulder and grabbed my dad's hand with the other. Neither would have ever guessed what happened next. He asked if he could pray about the surgery. It meant so much to my parents. The doctor later said after the surgery that it was more for him than Dad, but it meant a lot no matter who it was for. God bless, Joe."
Oh, that's really neat. Very, very,
very
neat.
Touching story.
Well, our challenge for today's show is how to be yeast in the family, bringing about change. And we have someone who's going to help us look at that. He's our guest for today, Dr. Tim Ham. And I found Dr. Ham when I was doing research, and he turns out to be someone who lives not that far from us, Dee.
That's right.
He is in charge of a school district down in the Phoenix area, and we'll get to hear about all of that when we bring him up and do the interview. Did you have something else you wanted to do?
We had another short little email. Deacon Tom and Dee, hope you are both well. Just wanted to drop you a line and wish you a happy Easter. God bless, Father Jay.
Yeah.
That would be Father Jay Finelli, the iPadre.
Thank you, Father Jay. Good to hear from you, as always. Well, we've had a nice Easter, and tomorrow we're going to celebrate Divine Mercy, and I'm going to be leading those who attend, 50 or 60 people, God willing.
And we've been doing the Divine Mercy Novena.
Yes, we have, to prepare for tomorrow. And I'll be leading us in adoration, and we'll do the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 o'clock, the Mercy Hour. We have Jesus here in my office on the wall, and we love Divine Mercy in our family. So if you'll stick with us, we have some good things happening in this show. Thank you for being patient and letting us get to you finally. Well, that lovely music is our dear friend Margot B. Smith from her album, Sending Up a Prayer. And that is fittingly played for the Eastertide and the time thereafter. It's called Alleluia, Alleluia. Thank you, Margot, for the use of your music. And, you know, we have Teresa Doyle Nelson as a continuing contributor to Catholic Vitamins. And she has prepared a vitamin Y for this show. And a little later on in our show, we'll pull two names. Teresa Doyle Nelson is donating one each of her books. And we had many entries on that. We're really pleased to pull a couple names, and we'll get those to Teresa, and she can send the books out. But right now, here's her vitamin Y.
Hello, this is Teresa Doyle Nelson, author of Saints of the Bible, and more saints of the Bible. My saints and scripture vitamin Y for today is youth. It seems that most Bible stories focus on adults. There are, however, a handful of narratives that tell of some youth-centered happenings. In the Old Testament, we are told how when Saint Moses was just a baby, he was nearly murdered by the Pharaoh. But due to the great love and protection of his mother, and then the inspired affection of his adoptive mother, who was the Pharaoh's daughter, baby Moses was spared. Saint Samuel often brings to mind his elderly mother, overjoyed with his birth. As a young boy, Samuel was brought to the temple in Shiloh to stay. It was while he was still a youth living in the temple that Samuel began to hear the words of God. David was a youthful shepherd when he was quietly identified as the new king of Israel. It was also during St. David's youth that he slew Goliath and played his harp for King Saul. The second book of Maccabees shares the story of the seven sons who, along with their mother, resisted intense pressure to forego their Jewish laws and so were horrifically martyred. The New Testament offers some information on the birth and childhood of St. John the Baptist. A variety of events surrounding the nativity of Jesus are shared. as well as his separation from his parents following a Passover pilgrimage to Jerusalem. New Testament scripture also tells about the baby boys from the Bethlehem area, now known as the Holy Innocents, who lost their lives during Herod's murderous attempt to destroy Christ. This week, I ask that you gently nudge a youth in your life toward sainthood. Maybe take a child or grandchild to a church for a quick prayer, or send a holy card to a godchild, or offer to teach a religious craft to a CCD class. Know that little deeds like these encourage and help our youth to move closer to the Lord. Much peace and many blessings to you today.
Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is Dr. Tim Hem. We found out that we are relative neighbors. We live in the same state. Didn't know that until we began to get to know each other a tiny bit. Dr. Tim has written two books, and I believe a third is underway. We'll get into all that in just a few moments. Tim, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's a great pleasure to be part of it.
So, I have two books that have just awesome covers, awesome content too, but awesome covers on them. One is called Crossing the Bridge. It's Your Time, Your Chance, Your Call by Dr. Tim Hem. And the other one is called Simplicity, The Path to Peace. We'll move into those in a few moments, but since even I don't know, some of the beginnings of your path and journey. Why don't we start with your earlier years? Where did you come from, and what were your younger years like?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking, Tom. Actually, I'm a native Arizona. I grew up in Tucson, Arizona, and I was the only one actually born in Tucson. The rest of my family actually was born in Kentucky. And their house burnt down. They had a farm, and they migrated back in the early 60s. And I was born in 1962 and grew up there. It was really kind of interesting. My parents at that point, I don't really remember them going to church much during those earlier years. It probably wasn't until about sixth grade. Actually, I was attending a Baptist church that was very close by and pretty much self-initiated. And there's a friend in the neighborhood. I said, hey, you want to go? And he said, yes. And so we started going at that point in time and went for quite a few years into high school, met my wife-to-be. And from that point on, she actually was Catholic and started attending the Catholic Church. And from that point, I attended U of A. She attended U of A. She was ran track. I played football. Sports was pretty well consuming us at that point in time, and we ended up making different decisions. I decided I wanted to really focus on school, so I left the sports behind and completed my first degree at U of A. We got married, and then we relocated to Phoenix and been in Phoenix ever since for about 25 years, and actually converted to Catholicism. When we had our second child, so I was about 24, actually got married when I was 19, very young, I know for most, and but it's been the best decision I've ever made in my life, and we've been married almost 30 years at this point in time. So I kind of made that conversion piece into Catholicism about 24, and I focused in. I was a math teacher. I wanted to make a difference and an impact, and so I went into teaching, and taught in Peoria School District for quite some years, and then from there moved into administration, and I've had, I'm coming up about 27 years of public service into education. I'm currently the superintendent of Madison School District, which is located in the urban area of Phoenix. And so that's kind of a little bit about my background and past and kind of where I'm at today. As I look at transitioning, probably in another few years, I've always wanted to capture kind of the direction. And the two books that I've written with, Crossing the Bridge and The Simplicity of the Path, and there is a third, and then we're going to talk about that. It's called The Arena. I'm probably about 80% almost done with that. My faith has always been a critical component of who I am, and I've always carried it with me, and I've always displayed it in the public sector and public schools. Sometimes it may not be able to be as overt, but definitely is recognizable. And so really these books are really accumulation of what I've learned, what I've done in my profession, and how it's helped me tremendously, and how I watched it help others in terms of not only working and becoming closer with a personal Savior, Jesus Christ, and moving forward in their life to making good decisions for the good of all humanity. So it's really just trying to capture that work to see if it can help others in that journey.
Okay, before we move into our sort of vitamin for the day, yeast, round out the picture. You are married. Your wife's first name and children. How many children do you have?
Oh, yeah, thank you. First name is Maggie, and we have two children. One is 24. The other one is 27. We're expecting our third grandchild any moment now.
Awesome.
So,
awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. We have two grandchildren of the boys. The third one's going to be a boy, so they're all boys. So I told our daughter, well, give this next one, hopefully it'll be a girl. So we'll see where we go.
You know, you and I did have the opportunity to meet because whether it was, you know, a coincidence, if there are such things, or your plan, you came to the parish where I am a deacon and where I do ministry work, and we got to meet each other, and I'm surprised to hear you say that you have three, or soon will have three, grandchildren. You must be taking the right Catholic or other vitamins. You look very young.
Absolutely. I'm 48. So, you know, I did get married very young, and we did have our children very young, and it looks like they're starting to follow the same footsteps. So,
All right. Well, good. Well, we've got a picture of you and a little bit about your work and path. So the idea of this vitamin is yeast being a catalyst or an agent of change. And most certainly when I got your first book, Crossing the Bridge, you know, I began to read it, and it was so gentle at the front end, sort of, you know, just a gentle finger saying, here, read this paragraph. And pretty soon, I think in a note that I sent to you, I called it a very layered book. Your writing style is inviting. Tell us first of all what Crossing the Bridge is setting out to do for the reader.
Yeah, really, Crossing the Bridge is really calling out kind of what we've been called to do as Catholics, and it is really to really live the fulfillment of the Christian life, and really it's moving towards perfection and charity, and we're just called to be so much more than, I guess, what I've witnessed and watched people that sometimes kind of get stuck. And I use one story in the book that I think really kind of resonates if people haven't heard it. It's called, you know, how do you boil a frog? And it's real simple. Is the way you boil a frog is you put them in a pan of lukewarm water, because if you put it in a hot, if you boiled it and you threw a frog in, the frog would jump out immediately. It understands its environment, it's dangerous, and it jumps out. But when it's lukewarm, it stays there. And so the way you cook a frog is just slowly turn the temperature up, and before you know it, the frog's cooked. Could have jumped out at any time, but chose not to because it's kind of lulled to sleep slowly. And that's kind of what I see kind of has been happening in our environment, is our surroundings, is it's a slow changing process. And then sometimes all of a sudden people get shocked. How did we get here? And it's because sometimes we're lulled to sleep. And so it's trying to awaken everybody to their calling that Christ has called us to be. And that is really to be the greatness that he's bestowed upon us, and the nobility, and to awaken that. And it is amazing when that becomes awakened. You look at some of the great people. I mean, John Paul II, Mother Teresa, follow the saints. They all had that tremendous call, and they changed the world, one individual. So you can imagine if many people got on fire, that fire within, what this world could be. And so it's not to be lulled to sleep. So the crossing the bridge is really that call, is that you've been created for greatness, and our God's given you talents, and to use those talents to the fullness and not to get lulled to sleep in our world that so easily can happen with all the stimulus that goes around and can dull our senses over a period of time. So that is really what it's about. And what I've found through my own work is through that process, number one, recognizing those, the gifts and talents you've been given, how to cultivate them, and then how to bring them alive. And so the book is really about doing that and gives you a process in which to do that that will keep you accountable, keep you focused. And one of the things that I learned is probably 25 years ago when I was moving through this process and laying out a game plan, it's amazing how every one of those things have come full circle and have been accomplished. But it was because it helped me get focused and not distracted with a lot of other things that really weren't that important. So it's really identifying the things that are really important and has great purpose, and then living your life accordingly. So the crossing the bridge is just that. We're all invited to cross. You got to take that first step. And as you take one, you're encouraged to take the second. And Christ is waiting on the other side for us. And that's really what it's about, the eternity of meeting Christ in heaven. And how do we get there on this earth and work our way in that direction by the things and the gifts that he's given us.
As an agent for change, or the yeast that we're using as our vitamin example, in that first chapter, the questions laid out, do you want to become more fully engaged spiritually, physically, emotionally, and mentally? And I think if I were to ask that question from the pulpit on one of the Sundays that I was preaching or during the week, mm-hmm. people would cautiously, they'd want to know what they were getting into. But I think people would say, well, yes, I want to be spiritually engaged. I want to be physical. But the truth is, many of us don't. You know, we become passive Catholics, or as I think you may have said in the book, too many people are lukewarm and live in the middle, satisfied mm-hmm. with mediocrity. And your book is a way of saying, hello, let's talk about this. In chapter one, I think the title is Double Up. And right. you use yeah. the example of God giving five talents to a man. You want to talk about that for a minute?
Oh, absolutely. And that's a good example. You know, that comes right out of actually Matthew, when, you know, three individuals are giving talents, one five, one two, and one one. And there are different responses to receiving that treasure from their master and what they would do while he was gone. And that's really the essence of what we're kind of talking about is, we're giving these talents. Are we going to develop those talents and use those talents to serve God? And if so, it's amazing how they multiply. And that was the idea of the talents out of Matthew's is, you know, five, one received five. He went, he traded them, brought back 10. The other one received two, did the same, brought back four. The third received one because of fear, buried it so he wouldn't lose it to return back to his master. And that, unfortunately, is what happens too many times when I see people is they have so many talents and so many things they could give, but they don't believe in themselves enough or, you know, the desire in which to do so, and they bury them. And so no one gets the benefit of the greatness that God created. And the idea here is that, you know what, use your talent. It's amazing how when you engage physically, emotionally, spiritually with your talent, how they start to multiply and they become infectious with other people. And part of that, too, is as they connect and set other people on fire, then what happens is you start to have support for one another. And that's one of the key ingredients is as you kind of unleash your talent is what it does to other people. And it helps them then also to take the risk, because one of the things John Paul said is be not afraid. And the one that buried the talent is exactly that. He's afraid he would lose it. But if you don't use it, you're going to lose it because it never develops. And so the challenge in that chapter is develop and utilize your talents that God has given you.
I really wish you had been my mentor or a teacher for me when I was a teenager, because I just can't tell you what I think I could have accomplished if I had had this sort of help back then. But thank God other things have happened in my life later on. Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is Dr. Tim Ham, and we're discussing the first of his books, Crossing the Bridge. We'll move on to the second book in just a moment. One of the things that I liked about your handling of each of the chapters is very progressive, very gentle, but definitely very magnetic, pulling the reader in. And at the end of the chapters, you have what are called summary treasures. Tell us a little bit about what that's about.
Yeah, that at the end of each chapter, the purpose was, okay, we kind of went through and we kind of discussed a variety of different topics and ways in which to maybe challenge you. And at the end of each chapter is that really is like a summary, but they're really key points that really gives you an opportunity to go back and look and let those key points resonate one last time in a way to reflect and think about what was just communicated before you move into the next chapter.
Great. Well, let's talk about two more chapters in the first book, and then we'll move on to the second book, Simplicity. But chapter two was called, if I remember correctly from my notes here, The Solid Seven. And then chapter three in this land of Indian casinos is called Hold or Fold. Just give us an overview of those two chapters.
Yeah, chapter two really is kind of getting into some of the core of it at that point in time. Because what happens is people try to develop their talents and their gifts as God has given and to become great and to give back that greatness to one another. There's things that interfere with that, and those are the seven deadly sins. So they're pride, greed, lust, anger, envy, gluttony, and laziness. And we all have them to some degree, our fallen nature, that happens. And so some may have more of a dominance than others. And what I always suggest to people, if some people struggle, you know, like, well, which one do I have more of a struggle with than another? What I always suggest is when you go to confession, what is the thing that you seem to have to confess over and over again? And that's probably the one single one or two that maybe you struggle the most with, and that may be a focus place. But the second thing is what happens with people sometimes is they want to repress them. And sometimes with repression, unfortunately, it comes out other ways. So the idea of this chapter is, number one, recognize it. We have this. So if it's pride, then how do you counter that? And what are some positive behaviors or actions that you can take to counter it? Because once you've done that, then it starts to equalize it, and then it'll start to minimize it. So, for example, like pride, how would we counter pride? With humility. So we do things that will help humble us. Greed would become generosity. So we become generous. So that means if it's up our time, our money, whatever it may be. With lust, we seek those things that are more, that are of a pure nature. So it's really making sure you don't put yourself in situations or exposure, and you really start to seek those things that nourish your thoughts in the beginnings of those pieces with purity. Anger, you work on patience. If it's envy, it's charity. If it's gluttony, then it's moderation. You learn to moderate. If it's laziness, really it's work. And so what I've done in that one is I have a saint who demonstrates each one of those, because we have many models already out there. It shows us how to do these things, but it takes time, effort, and energy. And we need a process to do that, which the rest of the book kind of tackles. So it's looking at the solid seven, and, you know, it's kind of a life process. Is we want to build humility, generosity, purity, patience, charity, moderation, and work. And so it helps us, like I said, minimize those seven deadly sins, which get in the way of us becoming great, because it creates a lot of self-doubt, creates fear, and then we don't take risks. Because it does take risk to step out and say, you know what, I'm going to express my talents that I have. I'm bringing them to the table. Because every time you do that, you have the opportunity to be rejected. And so you have to be able to understand that it's okay if you're rejected at times, but you continue on, you persevere, because those are the gifts that God gave you, and so he wants you to use them. So that kind of takes you through chapter two. Chapter three is one of my favorite ones, too. It's hold or fold, and there's no question it's after, you know, you think about poker. And, you know, in casinos, without a doubt, people will be able to relate very much to this in Arizona. As you know, as you're playing poker and you're, you know, people are looking at their hands, they're trying to determine, you know, they may have their pile of chips sitting there and they're deciding, okay, am I going to put in one chip? I'm going to put in two chips and I'm going to put in half of them or all of them. And they're looking at their cards that they have. So, you know, someone may have a straight, someone may have three of a kind, someone may have four of a kind. They're all trying to figure out, should I hedge my bets here? You know, I got a pretty good hand, probably the best hand I've had. Do I put half of my chips in? Do I put all of my chips in? What does the other person have? And what our Lord is saying is, put it all in. He's calling us completely, fully to be in, not hedging our bets partially. And many times that's what we do. We hedge, you know, I'm going to believe in this God thing or this Christ, because if I believe, then at least I have, maybe if it's true, an opportunity that I won't be thrown out of heaven when that opportunity comes, or I'm only going to do this to a certain degree because I'm afraid how people may think or talk about me. We're constantly kind of measuring up and determining how much we'll do to what degree we'll do it, just like poker. When we decide what kind or how many chips we're going to put in. But our Lord makes it real clear. He's calling us to be all in. And to reach your greatness, you got to be all in. So it means that it takes huge risks and some courage to do so, but to push the whole pile in. And when you push the whole pile in, you'll be amazed what happens in your life. It doesn't mean you aren't going to have struggles and difficulties and falls. I mean, that's part of life. But the great joy that will start to, and peace that will start to transcend into you, will be subtle, and sometimes it's very quickly. But it is all worth all the chips in, and not trying to hedge your bet. So chapter three actually goes into a little bit more pieces of that, but in essence, that's pretty much what it's talking about, is deepening that relationship with God by being totally in, totally present, all the time. And that's probably almost impossible to do with our human nature and fallen nature, but it's always striving to do that.
Well, you are definitely an agent of change, helping people to look at beginning to make changes in their lives. And, I just had a sidebar question.
Sure.
I was looking at the first book and loving the photography on the front and noticing the quality, but there's no company that is behind this. Did you self-publish these books?
Yes, they're both self-published. The first one I actually purchased, and that is from Mammoth Falls, and it's in Oregon. The second one, on Simplicity, I actually took that photo myself. We were up in Massachusetts at the Divine Mercy. And photography is something I like to do on the side, too, for fun. So I enjoyed kind of putting those together.
Yeah, and then you put the books together yourself, or you got a company and
No, I did consider that, but, just for simplicity, I put the books together myself. It was just easier to do that. I had a person who went through and edited it for me, and actually the first book our Bishop Thomas O'Brien here in Phoenix actually reviewed it and did email back and gave his blessing and wished me the best of luck with it. And I did have priests also review both books just to make sure that, you know, the theology that I was utilizing, referencing, it was done appropriately and correctly. And so those checks did go into place.
Before we move into book two, I just want to let our listeners know that if you are intrigued, or if you feel like, gosh, this really sounds like good reading, I am happy to let you know that Dr. Tim has agreed to provide two autographed copies of his two books, one each of Crossing the Bridge and the other, Simplicity, the book we're about ready to get into. And we have another book giveaway going on right now, but we sure want to invite you to send in your name to catholicvitamins@gmail.com or call our feedback number 206-350-3789 and just say Dr. Tim's book, and we'll put your name into one of these baskets, and then we'll pull names one each for the copies of the two books. Dr. Tim, thank you for that very much on behalf of our program and our listeners. Let's move into...
You're very welcome.
Sure. Let's move into book two. It's called Simplicity. And being a busy person and knowing people who are far busier than I am and wondering, I'm wondering how they get things done, and there are people that wonder how I get things done. What tell us about simplicity.
Yeah, and you know, really, these two books kind of build, even though they could be separate. The first one, Crossing Bridges, really getting your kind of priorities in place and direction, and Simplicity now is starting to apply those, even though there's some overlap between the two. Simplicity really is starting, and actually when I wrote this, it was for Lent. It was my thinking that it would be a good Lent book because it really starts off, and where it's heading towards is we all seek to be is peace and peace with Christ. And so it's a journey through that process because we do live in a digital world that is very fast and changes rapidly. So it's how do we manage those different type of things? And so I kind of walk through people into some different things like less is more. In other words, to be able to really, again, it goes back to what your priorities are, and you got to learn to say no. And so those who are people pleasers can struggle here a lot because they want to make people happy, and sometimes at the detriment of not being able to really ever find that peace because of all the busyness that they occupy themselves with. I just watch people, how busy they are. They don't take time to think either, which is part of the reason why maybe we are where we are in our society at this day and time. So, you know, I really start pretty easy because I know we're in a materialistic world. And so I kind of start with, hey, let's just start with talking about decluttering. Really going through and simplifying your life about the material things that you have is usually an easier way to start than as we get into some of the other more difficult things sometimes for people in disciplining ourselves in the spiritual arena. So we start with that. I call it zap-proof and don. And it's really taking the time in which to go through, look at, evaluate, do you really need it? Have you used it? And what purpose does it serve? And making those decisions. And then we move into chapter three about what you do have, use really wisely. And then another chapter I move into is called Box, Seal, and Delivery. And really this is confession that I move from the material now into the spiritual and mentally blocks that some of us, emotional blocks, that sometimes hold us back. And we have that beautiful sacrament of confession. And it saddens me. In fact, I was at confession last night, and just the few amount of people that attend. And yet, what a wonderful gift our Lord has given us, the ability to take those things that cause us to doubt, that hold us back, that keep us beating ourselves up, that we're very sorry for. And that's why I call it, you know, we box it, we give it. And the priest, through the sacrament, seals it, and we deliver it up to the Lord and for forgiveness. And it's really to forgive yourself so that you can move on into the next phase. But many people get stuck there. And there's a lot of secular ways that people go about sometimes trying to deal with some of these issues. And, you know, change only happens. You know, sometimes with counseling, if you go through counseling, one of the things that they do, I have a background in that arena too, is, you know, they want to change others. Well, counseling is not about that. It's about yourself and what changes can you make is taking responsibility for those. And confession gives us a way to start to do that is, you know, when we're remorseful for something that we've done that we know we shouldn't have done. And any of those things that fall into the other book that I talked about, those seven deadly sins that keep us from taking that next step, allowing that greatness to come out. So it starts to help in that direction, and it's a wonderful sacrament that we have. And then I move into silence. Is what I found is most people can't sit and be quiet for a period of time. And adoration is a wonderful place for that to begin. And so it's trying to invite people slowly into that process. For some, it may not be as big of a struggle. For others, it's very scary because many people keep themselves busy so they don't have to think about things that emotionally may be holding them back or the struggles that they may have. So they stay busy so they don't have to think about it. So it can be pretty difficult because you have to come to terms with yourself. And through adoration in the presence of Christ, you have Christ there helping you through that. And he can help you through it. And so we move into that, and then we move into I talked about some of the different prayers that have been around for generations, decades. And the rosary is one, divine mercy is another that can really bring you some solitude in that silence to help you through it, to build a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then the next chapter really is, as you do that and you work through some of those pieces, is then it's about service. It's about giving back. It's about engaging the world and to make it a better place than one which we found it. And we do it all for the glory of God. And so that's kind of what simplicity is about. It kind of leads you through that process from the material piece, working into the spiritual component, into silence, into service.
Well, dear listeners to Catholic Vitamins, if you wondered why I asked Dr. Tim to come on our show under the idea of yeast and being a catalyst of change, you can now appreciate. And when I talked earlier about Dr. Ham's layered writing style, he was just talking about simplicity, and he took us through the various chapters. It was chapter 3 that I captured a quote that he had from that great motivational speaker, Harvey McKay. The quote said that time is free, but it is priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once you've got it, you can never get it given. I've lost part of the words there, but you can never get it back once you've let something get by you. You know, that is sort of the invitation to begin to think about the things that are in the subsequent chapters, such as the sacrament of reconciliation and adoration. So all of what we're about on Catholic Vitamins is the wonderful gifts that we have in the church and the sacraments and things. So, Dr. Tim Ham, what a great joy it's been to have you on the show. And, you know, podcasting is not a place or a way that we sell things directly. We just sort of help with awareness. And I don't know how big your effort at publishing is going to be, but these words, these books are treasures, and what a gift to be able to share a couple of them autographed with our listeners. Thank you so much for coming on Catholic Vitamins.
It has been my pleasure. I appreciate it very much, Tom.
We will keep you in our prayers, and we would ask your prayers for us and our ministry.
I will do.
Welcome to this new evangelization. This is Catholic musician and speaker Justin Stroh. Remember the Garden of Eden? A garden, the tree of life, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Every day, Adam and Eve enjoyed a walk with God, intimacy with God. And the original sin is a mortal sin because they choose the knowledge of good and evil over God. They choose to consume this fruit as if the intimacy with God was not enough. And so our Lord mounts a tree on the sixth day of the week, Friday, the very day that he created Adam and opened his side and created Eve. Now he mounts a tree and his side is open and the church is born, the church, the blood and water gushing forth from the heart of Jesus, and that is his divine mercy. And now we say with all of the people of history, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Jesus is now the fruit. Whereas the fruit was knowledge of good and evil, now the fruit is divine mercy, the very Son of God. And the limit imposed upon all evil, therefore, is his heart, his sacred heart, his divine mercy. The Divine Mercy Sunday is the octave of Easter, 8 days after Easter Sunday. In other words, it's the feast of Easter, just a little bit higher. Why just a little bit higher? Because it's a feast day that says to souls that are willing to come to God who have imperfect contrition, it says to these souls, come. Come to me, all you who are weary. Whether we're lukewarm, whether we're on fire, whether we're spreading the divine mercy, or whether we don't even know what divine mercy is, our Lord is inviting us to come into that octave. If you're a musician, you know what an octave is. It's the same note, just a little bit higher. And that's exactly what the Feast of Divine Mercy is. The Feast of Easter, just a little bit higher. So I want to invite everybody listening to this to take seriously, now that we're in Holy Week, seriously, that we have a call to pray for the conversion of the entire world. Well, let's just start with our own city. Let's just start with our own people in our own parish. How about all those inactive Catholics? Pray for their conversion this Divine Mercy Sunday. Who knows how much more time we have left? Our Lord told St. Faustina that when he revealed the Divine Mercy to her, that it was a preparation for his final coming. So let's act like that. I think we need to. God bless you, and peace be with you. Africa on the throne. I've released a new video in anticipation of the great explosion of grace. On Divine Mercy Sunday, John Paul II will be beatified, and I believe that the miracle of his canonization will be connected to the hastening of this new evangelization that we've talked about here. This new evangelization has been dogged by various evils, but now these evils must yield and millions of souls be saved by divine mercy. Let's all be a part of it. Check out the video at justinstroh.webs.com and let us know what you think. God bless you.
Everywhere around this world that the flag of the Church of Christ unfurl, people come on, bend your knee to the power, glory, and majesty. See the Church found by Christ, the one for which he gave his life, built on Peter's solid rock. He the shepherd, we the flock.
Thank you, Justin Stroh, for a beautiful reminder for Divine Mercy and the new evangelization taking place in the Church. Dee and I know we said earlier in the show that it was just before Divine Mercy, but we're wrapping up this part of the show after doing Divine Mercy for an hour in our parish. You were there. Thank you for being a prayer partner with me, dear.
We had a good turnout today.
Yeah, we did. Maybe 60 people or even more.
We did have a little snag.
Yeah, well, yes, we did. But it all worked out fine. And surprisingly, someone brought and gifted me with a small bottle of holy water that had been blessed by John Paul II when he had been in Arizona quite a few years ago, obviously, before his passing. And so we were able to have everybody process forward, and they all were able to dip their fingers into blessed water, blessed by John Paul II. And then we finished with, Holy God, we praise thy name. I think I have that in our music library. We'll put that at the end of our show for today. I want to thank not only Justin and Teresa Doyle Nelson. We'll do her book draw here in just a couple of minutes. But I also want to thank Dr. Tim Hamm. What a wonderful gift to have his time with us. Dee, I showed you just a few moments ago the two books that he gave to us, and we're going to offer these as giveaways on our show. Crossing the Bridge, It's Your Time, Your Chance, Your Call. And the other book, Simplicity,
The Path to Peace.
Yeah, by Dr. Tim Hamm.
So you want to know what I think about when I look at these pictures?
Yes.
Well, this one, I'm looking at Crossing the Bridge, and there's a gorgeous waterfall, which reminds me of Yosemite National Park.
It does.
And then that bridge spanning high across a
gorge.
Gorge. That reminds me of a bridge or two that we crossed when we're going up Highway 1 along the coast, the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think he said where this was taken, but it's a beautiful picture. And I'd like to read the back of his book. Crossing the Bridge provides a life-changing roadmap to becoming more fully engaged spiritually, physically, emotionally, and mentally. People are called to be so much more than they have become. Crossing the Bridge will enkindle a fire within your soul that will move you to action, an action that will unleash the greatness that our Lord has placed within you. Too many people, as we talked about during the interview, are lukewarm and live in the middle. They become satisfied with mediocrity because it is safe and does not require a great deal of effort or self-discipline to remain in that state. Dr. Tim Ham says it's my goal that you become uneasy at remaining in this lukewarm state and take the responsibility to make the necessary changes to allow your talents and treasures to grace our Lord. And that is in perfect keeping with our vitamin for today, yeast. You know, yeast is required to make something change in the baking process, and yeast will be required to have you become more active and then to become a change in your family and in your workplace if you work outside of the home and in your parish and wherever you go. All right, dear.
How about the other book and the other picture?
Yeah, well, the book is called, again, Simplicity, The Path to Peace. And
that's just like a lane going through the woods, country lane going through the woods, which I always love that sort of picture. Remember one time, I don't know if we still have it, we had a big framed picture that was a path, and that was like one of my favorite pictures we had.
Right. This reminds me of walking on a hike in either Yosemite or the Rocky Mountains up in Colorado where we used to live.
And that picture was taken, would have been in the fall, wherever that was. It was in the fall because there's leaves all over the lane.
Well, here we are offering you some other books. We're going to pull the names of two people who are going to be gifted with one each of the books by Teresa Doyle Nelson. And how long are we going to run Dr. Tim's book?
We had decided we'd run Dr. Tim's up through the May 14th weekend.
All right. So we've got
a couple weeks.
Yeah. And today is the day of Divine Mercy, and we had said that we would draw Teresa's book winners today. So do you have that ready to go?
I do.
All right.
Here we are. We got two. We're drawing for two.
Yep. All right. So here's one. This would be Brenda Farber, right. Dear friend of Barbara. Thank you.
Draw another one.
Okay. And Jean Holman. Well, goodness gracious.
She's won quite a few things, too.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being listeners to Catholic Vitamins, and we'll pass your information to Teresa, who will actually do the mailing. Perhaps she'll be nice enough to put in a little personal inscription to you, and we hope you enjoy reading Saints of the Bible or more Saints of the Bible. And what else do we have, dear?
You got I have a couple more little feedback things here. Oh, oops, sorry.
All right.
I need to hit my hand on the table. Well, first of all, you know, I was off Facebook during Lent.
Yeah.
Or Monday through Saturday. I went on for a little bit each Sunday, but I wasn't on for very long. Well, Carrie Marsh had a post on there when I went on one weekend, said, missing your Facebook post.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's nice to be missed.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard from two new ladies. One sent a message to you. Her name is Kim Celestine. These are new names to us. She sent you a message. Thanks for sharing the good news with this grateful convert. Blessings.
Well, Kim, thank you. And any convert, and when they're on fire for the Lord, is a great help to our faith walk as well. So keep taking your Catholic vitamins.
And then another one from Brenda Allor, A-L-L-O-R. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but Brenda. She said, what a wonderful show. Thank you for walking with me in my journey to live the Catholic faith. I loved the Vitamin X show. I cried like a baby when I came back to the church and received the Eucharist. God bless you, Dee and Tom. And she also took a stab at the Y vitamin. She thought it might be youth.
Nope. Sorry. No. Keep guessing. Yeah. And the way that works, folks, if you're new to Catholic vitamins, is you just take a guess at the upcoming vitamin based on the clue that Dee gives.
Brenda had RN back of her name, so I'm assuming she's a nurse.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Well, at any rate, as I was saying, either send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com or call our feedback number 206-350-3789 and just let us know what you think. That's also the way to let us know that you'd like to be put in for one of the book drawings, like the books by Dr. Tim Ham. Excuse me. And if you'll just say Dr. Tim's books, we'll know that you want to be registered for that. And in a couple of weeks, I think Dee said May 14th, we'll pull names for that.
And I did pull a winner for Y.
Okay.
It's Greg Gorman.
Hey, Greg, we haven't heard from you.
Way out in Kentucky.
Yeah, in a while, so glad that you took a guest there. And I see up there a note that Joe Sales said that he's going on a two-week mission.
He and his wife.
He and his wife in July. And they're looking for a sponsorship. And if you're interested, we'll post a link to contact him in case you'd like to give him some sponsorship or at least offer some prayers.
Right.
Do we have anything else, dear?
I don't know. You want to do Bite of Scrabble now?
Let's do Bite of Scrabble.
Okay, Bite of Scrabble for next time. We're up to Z again.
My heavens.
Vitamin Z.
And people said that they didn't think that we could do this with these hard letters. Well, here we are.
Except third time.
Except this one is going to be pretty easy.
It is. Starts with Z, ends in T.
Uh-huh.
Four letters.
Just four letters. Now, come on. You can get that. So take a guess. Let us know. We'll put your name in a basket. Dee has these different baskets that she manages. And that's how this works. Have you got something else to promo there? Or?
Well, I thought it would just be nice. We haven't really done this too many times, but I think it's nice to promote other podcasts, especially ones we listen to also.
I agree with you.
And one of our favorites, both yours and mine, is Among Women.
Yeah, I'm not podcast. Supposed to be listening to that because I'm a man, but I sure love it.
That's okay because I listen to Paul's Men podcast and
I
I'm
do
a
too.
Woman, so
yeah.
It doesn't matter.
So we like Pat Gohn and the work that she does, the beautiful guests that she has on. And if you haven't heard of Among Women, do that. And
especially listen to her episode number 93. It's she has three ladies on, and they're talking about their experiences in adoration. It's a beautiful podcast.
Okay. And we do have other ones. Yeah, we'll put a link. Yeah, sure. We'll put a link to Among Women and that particular podcast episode in our show notes on the blog page. And you have a Vita...
I have a Vita Minute.
Okay.
Are we ready to leave?
Well, we have other stuff scattered
leave.
All... Yeah, I know. We're late. We're so late getting this posted, I think we should probably wrap up and get it going.
Well, I have a Vita Minute, and as usual, it's from my meditation calendar. Flower gardeners grow beauty, which the Lord can then use to heal people and bring them closer to Him. The beauty of God is indescribable, but His beauty is revealed through flowers. Growing flowers can make our desert bloom, whatever kind of desert we may be surrounded by. And that came from a Madonna House publication called The People of the Towel and the Water. And I might also add that we're sitting here looking at a calendar you have right above the computer. And it's a picture of Our Lady of Combermere, which is on the grounds of Madonna House up in Combermere, Canada. And beside this picture on the calendar, it says, Mother and Consoler of the Sick, Mother and Consoler of those distracted in mind, Mother and Consoler of the Disabled.
Pray for us. And there is a history to our relationship with Madonna House. There's a lot that we could share with you in some other setting. But the picture that Dee referenced of Our Lady of Combermere is the town in Canada where Madonna House headquarters is. This statue was given as a gift to Madonna House, and it was done by a sculptor, a late sculptor now, Frances Rich. And there's a long story about her involvement with Madonna House, and she lived in Arizona. It turns out that she lived in the very same town that we're living in. And as I said, she's passed now. And so if you ever want to know about Our Lady of Combermere, know that she has, it is a statue, a bronze statue of Our Lady with her arms wide open, and she's running to grab those that she loves.
I'm sure if anybody goes on the Madonna House website that there would be a picture and probably a little bit of the story about the statue
right
on there.
Dear folks, we thank you for putting up with our delay and with our prattling when we get into that mode, but hope you enjoy Catholic Vitamins. Our vitamin for the next time is Z, four letters, ends in T. Is that it?
That's it.
Blessings.
Bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.